On this episode of Skeptico, Alex provides an update on the Global Consciousness Project.
To me, it seems obvious. To me, it just seems like someone who's been beaten. You know, they lost an argument and they don't want to admit it, and they're running and hiding. And that's just how it seems to me. But there might be something deeper here than I'm missing. And if there is, I'd love to know.
Stay with us for Skeptico.
Welcome to Skeptico, where we explore controversial science with leading researchers, thinkers, and their critics. I'm your host, Alex Sakaris, and on this episode of Skeptico, I wanted to do a little bit of an update. I've received several emails from folks saying, hey, what's going on with this project? What's going on with that project? And I realized that over the last couple of years, I have started several initiatives and maybe not updated everyone as well as I could as to what's going on. So this and a couple episodes after this will be quick little updates, if you will, of some of the things that are going on here at Skeptico. And there'll be a call for you to maybe get involved if you can. There's a couple of areas where we could really use some help. So the first project I wanted to give you a little update on is the Global Consciousness Project research. Now, for those of you who are coming in totally in the dark about the Global Consciousness Project, I'd point you to a couple episodes we did a few months back. We have an interview in there with Roger Nelson and Dean Radin, two of the principal investigators in the Global Consciousness Project. But real quickly, here's what it is. The Global Consciousness Project asks the question, are we connected? Are we all connected in some way that we don't fully understand, but that is measurable in some way? And the way they go about doing this is very clever, and it came out of some research that was done at Princeton University. And that is, they set up these random number generators, and they give these to folks all over the world. And these random number generators are hooked up to their computer, and then they just turn them on and they get all this data back and they see if there's any correlation between these random number generators in their variance off of being random. So the biggest news event associated with the Global Consciousness Project came after 9/11. When they analyzed the data from all these random number generators spread out across the world, they found a huge spike in the correlation, greater than they had in any of the years previously. In any day, 9/11 stood out. And this got a lot of people's attention. Well, it also got the attention of a lot of skeptics. And the main skeptical argument against the Global Consciousness Project is that of data mining. So if you just talk to skeptics and you bring up Global Consciousness Project and 9/11, what you invariably will hear is, ugh, pseudoscience, because they just collect all this data and they're not blinded from the data and they just comb through this data looking for some pattern. They don't have any kind of analysis method set up in advance, and oh, it's just terrible science. It's pseudoscience. Well, this is what we attempted to explore on the show. And it really wasn't even our agenda that was driving it. It was because I had invited a guest on the show named Brian Dunning, who hosts a very popular skeptico, quote unquote, critical thinking show called Skeptoid. And Brian came on the show and he wanted to talk about the Global Consciousness Project because he had looked into it. And these are the charges that he brought up. So that's what launched us on the Global Consciousness Project. And after Brian came on the show and made these claims, which didn't seem to fit with what I had understood about the project, even though I didn't know it that well, I decided to investigate further. So naturally, I contacted the folks at the Global Consciousness Project. And the principal investigator is a guy named Roger Nelson, formerly at Princeton, was a professor at Princeton, and has since retired, but continues to do the Global Consciousness Project. I also contacted Dr. Dean Radin, who many of you know, who was also one of the principal investigators for the Global Consciousness Project and is still involved there. So these guys came on and in very convincing, very directly, just shot down every one of these claims. And you can go back and listen to the episode if you want. But I mean, it's just it's hard to defend the skeptical position here. I mean, the claim of data mining is refuted because, hey, in some cases, they don't even do a retrospective backwards analysis. They predict forward. And even when they are doing a retrospective analysis, they have the criteria in place both for selecting events and for analyzing those events. And they publish all the data out there on the web so anyone can go and analyze it and say, oh, here's your mistake, here's where you're fiddling with your analysis, which just isn't true. No one's ever been able to prove that or establish that beyond just this kind of arm-waving thing that sometimes we see from skeptical folks. But none of that is really an update for any of you. It's just kind of telling you what happened. So in continuing the story of telling you what happened, I have to remind you that a few weeks after our interview with Dr. Nelson and Dr. Radin, I had the chance to bring up the topic with Dr. Chris French, who is a very skeptical guy, edits the Skeptical magazine in the UK, and is professor of anomalous psychology at the University of London. And he came on the show, and one of the topics we wandered into was Global Consciousness Project. And he had quite a different view of it than the typical skeptical fare. He said, hey, you know, looks like solid researchers, looks like a lot of interesting data. I haven't looked into it enough to really form an opinion, but yeah, I think it's worthwhile to investigate. So I kind of jumped on that and said, great, let's do it. I'll even throw in a little bit of money to fund some research there. And that's what we did. So as a follow-up to that show, after that show, I contacted both Dr. Nelson and Dr. French, arranged to make a donation to both their organizations to put someone on this. And that was in September. And the update is not a whole lot of update, but there is some progress there. There's been a lot of communication back and forth. Dr. French has really been pretty upfront about him just not being able to find the time and him being kind of the weak link in moving that stuff forward up till now. But he has finally assigned one of his research associates, a student, to look into it. And Dr. Nelson has in kind contacted them numerous times, sent a bunch of information over there. And also Dr. Peter Bansal from France has agreed to take the train up to the UK and visit and see if they can jumpstart that work. So that's the update on what's going on the Global Consciousness Project. Hopefully, we will have stoked some real collaboration there, and we can kind of push that a little bit further, and I'll certainly keep you informed as we do. And there's one other little update that I wanted to offer on that. This being the new year, 2010, one of the things I've done is kind of go back and contact some old guests who've been on the show and see if there's any updating we can do on that end. And one of the folks I contacted was none other than Brian Dunning of Skeptoid. And I invited him back on the show to talk about whatever he wanted to talk about. But the email exchange I had with him is very interesting, very telling in a lot of ways. And I wanted to share that with you here today. So here's the email exchange I had with Brian Dunning of Skeptoid beginning on January 10th, the first email I sent to him. Here goes. Hi, Brian. Happy New Year. Let's do it again. Got 30 minutes for a Skeptico interview. So this is me on January 10th. And one day later, he got back to me. On what topic? Brian says. So I was kind of surprised to hear from him. I was glad to hear from him. Thought, hey, maybe we can really have a follow-up discussion. So I immediately zipped him back an email saying, critical thinking, cognitive dissonance among skeptics, skeptic versus believer debates. I'd love to touch on global consciousness. Recently interviewed skeptic Chris French on the topic, but we don't have to go there if you prefer. So that same day, I got a reply from Brian. Given the way you wrapped up your follow-up show to my previous appearance, I'm not convinced you've changed anything about your methodology that would compel me to contribute anything further. Your show is a public disservice. It encourages listeners to favor fringe claims that lack validity over established knowledge of how our universe works. My focus these days is to instill appreciation for real science, as that leads to real solutions to the problems we all face. Well, as you can imagine, I had a couple things to say about that, so I shot him back an email. That sounds pretty dogmatic, Brian. I think dialogue is the best way to sort this stuff out. There are a lot of smart listeners out there. They can decide what's of service parenthetically, as opposed to what's disservice. Moreover, not really understanding your concern regarding a follow-up interview. You have an equal chance to present your side. There won't be any post-production editing. I'll even present it without an intro or end commentary. How would this not advance your stated goal of critical thinking? And not surprisingly, that's the last I heard from Brian Dunning of Skeptoid. But, you know, as I say that, not surprisingly, it is surprising. I really don't get this. And for those of you out there who are skeptics, and I know many skeptical folks listen to this show, and I commend you for doing it. I really do, because you're participating in a dialogue that is a difficult dialogue to have. And I listen to a lot of the skeptical shows, too, and it's hard sometimes. It really kind of gets to your gut, you know, when you hear stuff you don't agree with. But I don't get this point. I don't get how someone like Brian Dunning can, on one hand, so arrogantly claim that he should be the one to decide what's science. He should apply his critical thinking, and no one else's criticisms should be heard or should be discussed. It really goes against, I think, just the kind of basic understanding of how dialogue is supposed to happen, how disagreements are supposed to be resolved. So I really don't understand that. And if there are skeptics out there who can explain to me Mr. Dunning's position on this, I'd love to hear it, because obviously he's shut down. I mean, to me, it seems obvious. To me, it just seems like someone who's been beaten. You know, they lost an argument and they don't want to admit it, and they're running and hiding. And that's just how it seems to me. But there might be something deeper here than I'm missing. And if there is, I'd love to know. I'd love to know. So anyways, that's going to wrap up our update on the Global Consciousness Project. Hopefully, we've stirred some real research, some real collaboration between Dr. French at the University of London and the research coordinators, Dr. Nelson and his group at the Global Consciousness Project. So on the next episode of Skeptico, that's hopefully going to come out in just a few days, I'm going to do another quick update on some of the other projects we're working on. I mentioned earlier in the broadcast that we're looking for volunteers, people to help in some of this research. I'll have more details on that on the next update that we do, but if you are interested and would like to contact me now, please do that. And in general, as I have in the last couple episodes, I encourage any of you who are interested in connecting with the show and connecting with me to please do so. I have some links up there on the Skeptico website at S-K-E-P-T-I-K-O. You can connect with me via Facebook, via Twitter, send me an email directly. Many of you have done that, and it's just been very fun and exciting getting to know some of you. So please do that. All right, that's going to do it for this quick update episode of Skeptico. Much more to come. Until then, bye for now.